Before we begin this lesson, let's take time to confess our sins so that we will be in fellowship and will enjoy the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we pray that your word would be clear to us as we examine your truth and try to understand how it is that you want us to live so that we can glorify you and so we can experience the full force and all the blessings of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have arrived at the last lesson in chapter 5, the solution for sin, which is the end of part 2. Dealing with sin. We have been examining in this chapter fellowship with God through the honest confession of our sins and are about to move on to other techniques, including the praying of effective prayers, living in the power of the Word, building our faith, going through God's training program, and others. Each new technique builds on the previous one, and the techniques work together perfectly, like a well-designed mechanism. When we put together the techniques that we will learn, we will be enabled to understand and apply God's grace procedures for walking in the Spirit. This is where the good life is and where we can truly glorify God. Many rich and wonderful things are waiting for us when we learn to use these grace techniques and assets. And this is what we look forward to. All right, this is lesson 26, Abusing Grace. Before going further, we should issue a caution. Use God's forgiveness, but don't abuse it. Is there a danger that we will abuse God's grace? Maybe if we use grace and forgiveness as excuses to sin. But the act of using our freedom of choice as an opportunity to sin is itself an action of the sinful nature. And the only way we can neutralize the sinful nature is to confess our sins and stay in fellowship. If we confess continually, we will have the power to avoid sin, including the sin of using grace as a way to beat the system in order to sin at will. So confession helps even with that. Now, we will understand as we go along that the reason that it's so hard for us to remember to confess and to go through confession continually is that we are immature, and it is through the maturation process that we will actually learn when we need to confess and the things that we need to confess. And we will become more faithful in our confession. We will be controlled by the Spirit more of the time. And as a result, we will sin less. And so all that's going to evolve as we go through these other techniques. Paul addressed the problem that we're facing in this lesson of abusing grace. He addressed that with the Romans, and we'll see that in just a little bit. He gave some very definite limits for assumptions about grace. Grace is great, and God delights when we access His grace offerings consistently and enthusiastically. But grace must not be seen as an opportunity to live our lives without responsibility. Grace makes provisions for us, but our responsibility is to use what God gives us without abusing it. It is possible to misuse grace in a way that grieves God. This is what we see when a believer understands the principle of forgiveness, but applies it as a get-out-of-jail-free card so he can go right back to his crimes. We need to understand how grace works, and we must recognize when we are abusing that grace. At the same time, we must use grace fully, because this is what God intends and what delights Him. God is loving. He forgives and loves to forgive based on His Son's work, which He honors. Love and grace enable His justice and righteousness to work through forgiveness. If they didn't, we would all be condemned. But because He loves us, He provides a way for us to be forgiven as His children. Keep in mind that God has given us choice, so we are free to sin, but not without consequences. When we sin, we will face loving discipline, which can be severe and quite painful, even deadly. And we must keep short accounts on our confession list to stay clean and avoid this. At the same time, remember that God looks at the heart, which means that He knows if we are not sincere in our confession, and He sees when we are not truly seeking His forgiveness. Insincere confession is not confession at all. It is simply religion, a religious ritual with no effect, a display of godliness, but denying the power in it. Grace increases as sin increases. There are no sins that God will not forgive if they are honestly confessed. Grace fits all sizes. God knows about our sins before they are committed, and His plan is designed to deal with them. Romans 5:20 says, "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." The purpose of the law is to expose our sins, and as our sins become greater, grace adjusts to take care of them, if we use it properly. Romans 6:1-2 follows that verse in Romans 5:20 by saying that grace increasing should not be used to abuse grace. Here's what this verse says, these two verses. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" These questions are rhetorical. Of course we should not go on sinning and must not live in it any longer. We died to sin positionally or in our eternal state at salvation, but we often live in it conditionally or in our temporal state. But we don't want to live in sin, which is why it is so important for us to deal with it correctly. If we think we can sin and that it will not be recognized as sin, we will not see the need to honestly confess it. Thus, we will not be forgiven, even though we think we are okay. The application of grace must be done in the way of grace. Grace forgives, but it will not excuse without true confession. That means honest confession. Insincere confession used to provide a pretext for sin will only compound our spiritual jeopardy. Once again, God sees the heart, and He knows our motives. When we are clean and controlled by the Spirit, we can claim the following promise. This is from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Doing things God's way brings His blessings. And before you are through with this course, you're going to fully understand what that means. Doing things God's way brings His blessings. All right, we have some questions. Number one, God's grace must never be used as a pretext to blank. Number two, if we are not blank in our confession, it will not count. Now, there may be more than one answer to that question, but they're at least going to be synonyms. So if we are not blank in our confession, it will not count. All right, we have one verse to go with this lesson. Somewhat oblique to the point of the lesson, but I like this verse nonetheless. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin or your sinful nature reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. The main point of this lesson is that we can't wink and nod when we deal with God. All cards must be on the table. Confession is about coming to God with an honest heart and sincere acknowledgement of our wrongdoing. If our heart still treasures sin and are harboring plans to continue a sinful pattern, we are abusing grace and fellowship will not be sustained with such a devious scheme. All right, as we said, we are ending part two, and here are the key points that we got from the chapters in part two. First of all, sin is the biggest problem we face. Secondly, we have a sinful nature that cooperates with Satan and the world. Next, God, in His grace and by His mercy, solved the sin problem by sacrificing His Son as our substitute. Then Christ's sacrifice makes it possible for us to be saved simply by believing in Him. God honors His Son's sacrifice in dealing with our sins, both at the time we are saved and after we are saved, if we follow His guidelines for dealing with sin. The technique God uses for removing our sins after salvation is honest confession to Him. Finally, if we do not confess our sins, they are not forgiven, and we will be disciplined. I have a final verse that I want to read, which I think is a good recap for this lesson. This is from Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that You instruct us that You are not hiding the mystery and the truth that You have for us, that You have shown us that there is a way to deal with our sin, and that the only way that we can have strength to build up resistance to sin and its many allies is to continually confess our sins. And we can only do that faithfully as we mature. So we look forward to building our faith in You as we grow in knowledge and in Your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.